Been thinking about how important it is to have God's direction and providence in our lives. There's a verse that says that you must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's important, of course, to believe that He is. But not only that, but He's accessible. He's interested. He's personal. It can make a difference. That's a talk of faith. He is. And He is accessible to me. It goes farther than that, though, to me. When there's scripture that says God is love, those kind of things, it makes me to have to believe that God is doing things for my life all the time. I have to believe it. I think that it's a necessity of our faith to believe that this day God's paying attention to me. I can't believe that He's off not paying attention. That would be too much. God's paying attention to my life. And that the biggest thing that I need from God is the things that I can't see and do and know for myself. That's why He's God. He's not limited to any of those things, and I am limited to those things. There was a prayer request, for instance, given in for the situation that's going on between Russia and the U.S. by way of the Ukraine, but there's tensions building. You know, it's hard if you pay attention about those kind of things. It's hard to not have a little bit of concern about something like that, because it's two nuclear powers in the world, and one of them acting aggressive and all those kind of things is necessarily could be a big deal. And I know that, and it's worthy of all of our prayers. And God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. But beyond all that, I can't help from believing in a God that loves me. I can't believe that anything that can happen, that God would allow it to happen to destroy His people. It's just impossible. It's an impossible idea, and therefore I believe in the idea of God's providence, that God is going to work in our lives, not to make our decisions. We're going to have to make the decisions. But He is going to work into the elements to give us the ability to make the right decision. He's going to be able to work in our lives to get us where that we really need to go. I want to look at a scripture in Ecclesiastes 6. I'll start with 11 and 12. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? You know, that's quite a question to ask. Do we really even know what's good for us and what's bad? I would be willing to say in the spiritual realms, a lot of times we get that wrong. We'll necessarily look and judge things simply by the way it affects our fleshly emotions. I mean, what affects our emotional state at any given time. If the transformer out here somewhere would blow up and we'd hear a big bang and electric go off of it, immediately every one of us would judge that as to being a bad thing. We don't have electric. It scared me. The children are crying. Whatever. That necessarily is a bad thing, right? But who's to say that that's a bad thing? we don't see everything and we don't know everything. And it's why that we need God's providence in our life, because I would not choose those. I won't make those happen. I won't make the bad things happen. Who can know what is good or bad? Yesterday in Scott's little memorial thing, I used a scripture that says that it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. For it's the end of man, and the living will take it to heart. So here's a passage of scriptures to just lay out as two different ideas. The house of mourning, there is where the idea is that someone passes away and you go to visit them. Say a son's passed away, a husband, a father passed away, a mother has passed away, and so you're in the community and you go to this place where everybody around's got their face in their hands and tears are rolling and there's wailing and weeping. But the scripture says it's better. Here's the contrast. One of the neighbors has hit the lottery, and he calls all the neighborhood around and friends and said, "I've got a great spread. I've called in the catering. We've got plates of shrimp and beef, and we're going to have some entertainment. So y'all come on, and we're going to have a nice long night of celebration. And we're going. The Bible says it's better to go to the. Nobody would want to choose that. But the Bible says that it's better to go there because it's the end of man, and the living takes that to heart. In other words, what God is seeing is the product of what's going on. Not just what happens as an event, but God sees what the product is going to be, what's going to be produced by this element. We may look and say, and who wouldn't, but I'm going to challenge you with this. Who's to say in the spiritual world how bad COVID was? 9-1-1 was. Katrina down there. Who's to look and really judge that and say, of saying, is this good? Is this bad? You may hear the next report of the one that is diagnosed with a serious disease, maybe going to leave this world. We automatically call that bad. But is it automatically bad? I've asked this question sincerely because, of course, when it hits in our family, it's bad. The people I know, it's bad. But if you really want to look at the realities of eternity, maybe not. Could those kind of things be God's mercy to bring so that the living will take it to heart? So that we can look and say, I'm reminded. I told him the other at Scott's funeral, one of the things that Scott's life did for me, it made me think a lot. Because Scott was younger than me, I was friends with him, and when I heard that he was terminal with that, the idea, of course, come to me. It was that this can happen to anybody. This can happen suddenly to you. Tomorrow's not yours. You don't have that or that. And we look at things sometimes totally different than they really are. God's dealing with us sometimes can be what looks like it's a terrible thing, but not necessarily. I remember being in the tent work when the 911 happened, and I want to tell you, it faded out, of course. It faded out. But the people that was hollering about open prayer and prayer this, right after that, they had prayer on the Capitol stairs, and nobody said, don't do it. And after that, in the tent work, everybody was stirred. You talking about a stirring to talk? Yeah, people were saying, yeah, I know I need to do something with my life. And yeah, people, because there was something that stirred them to do it. We often will judge the things in life and, well, I had a terrible day and it didn't go well. And some of the best spiritual places in my life came on the heels of something that we would have judged as being an awful event, a terrible thing to go through, something that just didn't. But, you know, God loves us and has a way of using the tools of His universe to put a bit of providence into our life. We still have to make the decisions of our life, but things that can be altering, so altering to our life, because we misjudge it. I think everybody in here that could see the end and know that there's heaven at the end of it, and you could see all those things, I think every one of us in here has made a commitment, or most everybody in here has made a commitment, that I want to go to heaven at any cost. Right? Well, you can raise your hand if you want to say, Lord, I want to go to heaven. But we wouldn't choose it if we didn't have to. But I'll choose it if I have to. See, this is what I'm talking about today. Because I don't know, I want to submit myself to the will of God to say, if I need a correction in my life, please do it. If I need an altering of my spirit, if I need an altering of who I am, Lord, please send the right thing. Because I can't see those kind of things. I'll call something good, bad, and something bad, good. Sometimes we call blessings. Oh, we're so blessed. Well, God surely gives us things to use. But we'll sometimes say, it's such a pretty sunny day. And as they said in Revelations, I am rich and I have needed nothing. I am so blessed, I have need of nothing. And the Lord looks at that as what we call good and say, no, that's not good. It's not good for you to be in a place that you feel like you need nothing, because you're never going to strive for anything. You're never going to be open for anything at that point. And you don't know that you're poor and naked and destitute. You don't know it because you can't see it. So sometimes we look, and I am very thankful for the prosperity of this country. But what are we supposed to do with the prosperity in our country? That's a question. What is this got the capability of making us being self-absorbed until only thing we think about is the next thing for us and how I fit into it all and all those kind of things? Perhaps that is what it's all about, me just doing that kind of stuff. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll check it. It says, for who knoweth? This is a question. Who knoweth? Can we answer that? For who knoweth what is good for man in his life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Well, we definitely need the Lord's events in our lives. And there is a passage of Scripture, I think it's in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12th chapter. Oh, let's see. I'm going to read a little bit. I'll just read from the first verse of this and get the thought. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I shall say the truth, But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Though I be exalted above measure. There is a scripture that says, for him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I've been in this thing a while. Lord's blessed. Answered prayer. I've arrived. I've made it. Nothing. I'm there. that kind of a position. And he warned the people even. As you look to see somebody that is God's blessing. God had blessed him. So he warned the people, don't look at me above what I should be. What you see. Paul must be special. I want to sit beside him on the bench. I want to get as close to Paul as I can. Paul's something special and it's going to rub off on me. Do you know one of the things about the gospel is you don't have to worry about it rubbing off on you. It won't rub off on you. You don't have to worry about it. I remember an evangelist telling somebody one time that they said something about they didn't want to be around them holiness people. Maybe something to get on them and said, brother, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about some kind of righteousness or holiness jumping off of us onto you because it ain't going to work that way. This is something that you get from a connection with the Lord, and it's the only way to get it. You can't have it any other way. Well, Paul had had revelations, and God had done something for him that was special and unique, and so he warns the people, yes, the Lord did that, but you don't look at me any above that, because it ain't me that does it. The Lord can take you to the same kind of experience that he took me, but Paul, recognizing that what God was done for him, I don't think he recognized when it happened. And I think that thorn in the flesh that got to him, that he immediately in his humanity said, that thorn's bad. I can't do the things that I should be able to do. I think he was thinking about the Lord's work. And he looked at it and said, this thorn is hindering me from doing what I should be able to do. But is it always bad? Sometimes the disability brings something. I don't think you would mind me mentioning this, but some of you remember it too. Brother Michael Smith has always been blessed in his ministry. It's always been, his ministry has always had a product with it. It always comes with producing something. The Lord blesses him. But after he had that problem where he went into those spasms and those kind of things, there was just something special about his preaching. Something happened dynamic. He had such a strong need for the Lord to keep him while he was preaching, to keep him while he was going to the meetings. At any time he could break out into these spasms and be uncontrollable, and he needed something to do it, and it was something that stuck out in the rest of it that some of us would say, I obviously can see that there's something else. There's a stronger message. There's something stronger. You listen more. Because there was something there. A dog jumping up and doing whatever he did to his back and causing the nerve problem is a bad thing. Is it? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know that all things work together for good. So these things work together for good. In God's providence, we have to believe that God is not giving up on us. And the things that happens in this day, in this week coming, the things that happens in it in our Christian world, at the hand of God, has to be good. God is giving something to make something with. It's always been that way. Said of Jesus himself, unless a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die. He said that for a reason. We have to realize there has to be something happening to that. it looks negative. Jesus is being treated the way he was to the disciples was horrible. Jesus had to be treated that way. For the Lord, the creator of the universe, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one that loved people enough to deliver them from blindness, to feed them when they was hungry, to reach out to those ones, to heal the woman with the issue of blood, the lame, the sick, cast out demons, made people's lives normal, passed out lesion and made a man whole again. All of those things from the love of God, it wasn't right that they done to him what they did. It wasn't right that they crucified the Lord. It was a bad thing that they crucified the Lord. It sure was a good thing they crucified the Lord. It was a good thing that he gave his life for that. He didn't have to, but he gave his life for it. And it was prophesied that this is what the Lord was going to do. He came and gave that to us. So in this passage of Scripture, Paul's telling us that he got a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. We got a right to pray. God answers and honors our prayers many times. In these ways, he always honors our prayers. He just don't always say yes. But he said, I sought the Lord three times for something that was bad, that wasn't really bad. Had the Lord have answered his prayer. I want us to understand this. If the Lord had answered our prayers, he would have been less than he should have been. The Lord answered his prayer by telling him, no, Paul, this matter isn't one that I'm going to take away. He realized what it was for, lest I be exalted above my measure. I needed something to keep me down. Even when you can understand it and you need somebody to come down, we don't know what it is. We can trust God for it. God gave him exactly what he needed. He gave him this thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, caused him hindrance, caused him to think that he couldn't do what he wanted to do, but he found out that his message was stronger. When he depended on the Lord, he was able to accomplish, and when he didn't think he could, all of those kind of things. You know how many people, including me, have a testimony of being able to stand up and preach the Word of God through illnesses and ailments and never feel them till we sat back down? You know how many times God deals with and can go over top of the sicknesses and ailments? I don't know that I ever seen Brother Michael have one of those things while he was preaching. He sat back down in his seat and then started up again. He'd be there before he did. How many times God proved his power through these things over and over again, has proved his power and said, no, I'm not going to take it from you. I'm going to give you grace to show how big God is in the middle of it. So Paul says that he was stronger by the power of God with the thorn in the flesh than he was without the power of God, without the thorn in the flesh. He says, I prayed to get rid of it. And the Lord, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I just wanted to encourage you today with this message that whatever it is that's going to be the lot of your week coming, whatever the issues that may come, you may have to face, remember the providence of God. Remember that the things that are come into our life are let into our life. And instead of just saying this is necessarily the bad thing, even though it's classified as the bad thing, that God has an intention of making something much more out of it than just that. If we live for God and are called according to His purpose, we love God, it can't help from being this way, that whatever it happens into our life, because we don't know and we'll misjudge it, that the encouragement thing to me is that God knows. And he knows how to do it. In we've dealt with this a lot recently, but the passage of Scripture that says, I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord, came after the Lord told the children of Israel that he was going to have them carried away into captive, which was a bad thing, you may say. But the only way to keep Israel as God's children was to do it. So the providence that looked so bad, how could you show your might and your power as God to let your children be carried off into a foreign land and them think that they're going to think for 70 years their gods were superior to Israel's God, when really the fact of it was Israel's God was the only God, and the God that allowed them to go down there in captivity because they kept turning to idolatry. They kept running away from God, and God said, I'm going to stop my children from running. So Lord, help us. The things that God, you know, God loves us enough to stop us in our course. God loved Paul enough to send him. We love our children enough. It's a fading thing in our modern culture. It wasn't fading back in my grandmother's day and my mom's day, I'll tell you that. But if you needed a spanking, you got one. Well, that's kind of a fading idea now. But my mom never spanked me because she hated me. The disciplines I got was always a necessary thing for a correction. I got a few at school for being ornery and doing things that I wasn't supposed to do. And I could label them as bad. But I'm going to tell you what the last... I got two good ones when I was in school. And the last one that I got, it was the last one because I said, that's the last one I'm getting. I'll say this, that brother done a good job on that one. He did not hold back, and boy, I said, you know what, I don't want no more of those. And it was that purpose that it done wasn't done. They wasn't just trying to abuse me or nothing like that. They said you got to behave yourself, and you got to behave yourself not only in school but in life. Well, Paul's in a situation here to where he's in a big danger in his personal relationship with the Lord. The Lord's the one that let him see those things, but he also knew that his human pride, and he was going to be... No, he never done that for everybody else. I must be special. Yeah, you're special enough. I'm going to send you a wake-up call to really realize who you are. You're no better than anybody else. It's God that makes the difference, not you. So he said he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now here's the thing. There is grace. And whatever our lot is for the time to come, the weeks, the days, the weeks, or hours maybe, to come, I want us to be encouraged that there is a grace. This is at the hand of God, and there is a grace, and the grace is sufficient. Through whatever it might come, grace is sufficient. And for, he said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So, whatever it is that comes in there, the weakness is not the bad place. The weakness is the realization that I'm only a human and that I need something divine. I need something of God's providence, of God's leadership. I'll call that bad and something that I'd never choose or want. But God will send providence into my life for me to make the right decision and lean on His grace, that whatever it is in relationships, whatever it is in hardships, whatever may come, whatever the situation is, there's going to be grace there to make it better. When I feel incapable, I can't do those kind of things, and the world around us, we are affected. I'm going to tell you, if the United States and Russia gets into something, it's going to affect you. For the most part, it's going to affect you some way because we're all citizens of this world. But there is a grace. There is the providence of God that right in the middle of all of this, we can still be faithful. I would expect an all-loving, faithful God to try many ways of correcting this wayward nation. I would not only expect it, but pray for it. Lord, when it gets to people's hearts are only evil like that and they're only going away, Lord, if you can do anything, do it. If the salvation of souls would come at the collapse of our economy, we as Christians would have to say amen to it. Lord will keep us through it because His strength is made perfect in weakness. He'll keep us in all those things. If He feeds the sparrows, He'll feed us. If He takes care of if He clothes the lilies of the field, He'll clothe us through. But in the middle of it, we expect God's providence. Lord, have your way. Get people's attention. Do whatever you need to do. Well, we're talking about it generally in the country, but let's say that down in our personal lives. You have somebody in your personal life that needs something, expect God to love them. expect God to arrest them in their course and have mercy on them and get them to the place that it's better to go to the house of mourning. It's better to consider that we're human. It's better to see. I can think about Scott at 49 years old and got a brain tumor last year, and he's gone now, but I can also take that as a positive witness to my own mortality. There's going to be a day that, well, if the Lord don't come back and end this all at one time, you're going to have to bury me, or I'm going to bury you. Could be I may be there to see you, some of you buried, and then probably the best chance is that most of you are going to be there to see me go. It's the way of life, and it's the way it's got to be, and it shows us that we need to deal seriously with the Lord. So let's take the Lord seriously. Do you pray for me? I want to be faithful.